Good morning, family. This morning's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is God's word. You may be seated.
Hello, my name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace, and I'm going to be opening up the Word with you this morning. As you heard our scripture reading and Advent lighting, this is the Sunday of Advent where we talk about God's love for us and how we can love one another. And this is an important topic for us to talk about because love is something that we talk a lot about, but we find very difficult. For instance, if you were here last week, you know that there was a music stand holder up here on this podium, and it ended in a tragic death when Pastor Brooks knocked it off of this pedestal, and I am choosing to love him anyway. But I am going to switch this out, and I'm going to grab a different music stand, and if you guys could keep an eye out for Brooks and make sure he doesn't touch this, that would be great. Advent means the arrival of a notable person. As modern followers of Jesus, we remember his first coming while we also look ahead to his next coming. This year, as we celebrate the coming of Christ through Advent, we will see Christ give us hope, peace, love, and joy. This holiday season, you and I need more than just the average love we talk about. We need a perfect love. In fact, in our scripture this morning, we read something that should cause us to ask more questions. The clicker is not working, Jen. Thank you. There we go. Now we're rocking and rolling. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. What is this perfect love, and how can there be a love that casts out, that throws away fear? Unfortunately, fear and love have been interconnected for all of us for a variety of reasons. Today, as we open the scriptures together, we will see that this perfect love we are looking for can only be found in our Emmanuel, Jesus, God in the flesh. Would you pray with me? Father, we open not only our Bibles, but we also open our hearts this morning. We pray that you would speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds to understand. Give us hearts to believe what you say. And give us hands and feet ready to do your will. Father, I pray that you would show us what this perfect love looks like as we receive love from you. And as we look to give love to one another, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Her name was Rachel. She lived next door to me when I was 6 years old. She was the first girl I ever loved. You can laugh. This isn't going anywhere dramatic. I remember her name, Rachel. I remember exactly what she looks like. But in talking to my mom this week, I couldn't remember my other neighbor's name, and he had G.I. Joe figures. You'd think I would remember that. I couldn't remember if a train went by that house, if it was by railroad tracks. I couldn't remember the name of the street we lived on. I couldn't remember the house number, but I remember Rachel. As I think back to the first girl I fell in love with, it was Rachel. And I remember her to this day. I don't remember any other neighbor's names from my whole life, but I remember Rachel. When we talk about love, this is often what we're talking about. You and I both know that I was not really in love at 6 years old with my neighbor that I lived next to for 1 year. But when we talk about love, this is often what we mean. We are talking more about infatuation. We're talking about emotions. We're talking about proximity. We're talking about how we feel about something. The fact of the matter is the love that we all truly need is in short supply. The love we have received from others and the love that we have given others has been imperfect. And in many cases, it has produced fear. Maybe it's the love that we received from our parents, but now we can't find it anywhere else. Maybe it's the love we did not receive from influential people in our life or even our parents, and we're constantly trying to find it in the people and the things of this world. Maybe it's a love that we had that we have now lost. Or maybe it's in our inability to love others. We need more than an adolescent infatuation. We need a perfect love. And as we open the scriptures this morning, we see where that love comes from. So if you haven't already, please open with me to 1 John chapter 4. Some of the verses will be up here on the screen. We will cover verses 7 through 12, and then we'll continue on in a few other verses as well. So open with me to 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. First off, John is writing to the church here, and he calls them the beloved. He can call them the beloved, not because he is biologically related to them, but because of the love of God. He can, in this passage, two different times call them beloved. Something that you typically don't say to someone else unless you are married to them, related to them. But he calls the church here beloved because he knows the love of God. And here it says, if we're born of God, then we will know God's love and we will love. If you are born of something, you reflect its image. A giraffe gives birth to a baby giraffe. A cat gives birth to a kitten. A human gives birth to a human baby. We reflect the image, we look like, we act like that from which we were born. If we are born from God, love is non-optional. Verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. We're going to park here for a little while. There's a lot going on here. We can read this and see that there are some who say they know the love of God, but they do not love others. There's some that say we know God, but then they don't love one another. They don't look like love. They don't reflect his image. This should cause us to take pause for two reasons. First of all, it's possible to say you know the love of God and then not be a loving person. The second reason we should take pause is because that person is often us. It's often us that says we know the love of God and we know we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, but we have a very hard time loving certain people. We have a very hard time loving people we don't like. So first, we need to look in the mirror. And then it says, how do we know that we're loving God? How do we know that we know the love of God? How do we know that we're not being one of those people? It says here, and this is love that God made manifest among us, that God sent his son into the world so that we might live through him. How do we know that God loves us? He sent his son. He came in the flesh. Born of a virgin, born in a manger. That's how we know God loves us. And so how do we know if we truly know the love of God, if we're truly born of God, if we show loving action towards even our enemies? Because this is the love that God manifests among us. The word manifest means to bring into appearance, to put out in front. And God didn't just say he loves you. You've probably had this. People that say they love you, but their actions towards you do not show the love of God, do not bear the image of God. God says he loves you, and then he does something about it. He puts in action his plan to come in the flesh and live and die and rise again for you and me. This is love. And then it says that we might live through him. He has made manifest among us the love of God. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. Christmas is a wonderful season. With everything I'm about to say here, I am not bad-mouthing Christmas at all. That's not what I'm here to do this morning. But I would like us to think about how weird Christmas is. For about a month, we do things we do not do the rest of the year. We wear clothes, some of us, that we would not wear the rest of the year. We watch movies that are Christmas movies. What other season do we sit down and say, hey, kids, let's sit down and watch this 4th of July movie or this Valentine's Day movie? But it's a whole genre of Christmas movies. We don't even get through all the Christmas movies we want to watch every Christmas season. We talk about this guy named Santa who sees us when we're sleeping and he knows when we're awake. That is so weird. If your kid came home and said, my teacher says they see me when I'm asleep and they know when I'm awake, you would have a meeting with the principal immediately. These are weird things that we do just at Christmas time. We put an elf on a shelf and tell our kids it's watching them so they're good for a whole season. What is going on? Far too often, this is how we treat the love of God. That it's seasonal, that it's occasional, that we do it for people that we like. Friends, let's be honest. In a room of 500 people and in a church of over 1,000 people, there are people that you like more than other people. And that's just part of being human. But when we hear sermons or we read verses about loving one another, we immediately think of the people that we love and like that like and love us back. And we avoid the people that are harder for us to love. We think that love is an optional activity or there's certain kinds of people we are to love. But God, in his love, manifested that love by sending his only son to die for sinners like you and me. This is love. And here, John is saying that that is our very life. We live through him. Our power to love, our life, our spiritual life, our standing with God is all found in the love that he first showed us. Verse 10. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. First, John is defining what love is. This is love. He is telling us this is what biblical love looks like. This is important for us because we have a lot of definitions of love roaming around in our head and in our world. I said my first love was this girl named Rachel that, you know, here's the backstory. I don't talk to this day, and I didn't marry Rachel. My wife's name is Dolly. I did not marry Rachel, just to be clear, in case you thought this was some kind of love story. I said I love Rachel. She was my first love, my neighbor that I now don't talk to. I also say I love pizza. I love Kansas City sports teams. I love Sunday afternoon naps. I love Christmas cookies. When we throw around the word love as a modifier to all kinds of things that we actually just like, and we read God so loved us, and we're to love one another, gets watered down. No, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. Love starts with God. I believe that most of you could have raised your hand and answered that Sunday school question this morning correctly. Does love start with you or God? I think we would have all said it starts with God. But in our practical theology, in the way we live our life, we often make the mistake of thinking that God's love for us is dependent on our ability to love him back. And sometimes we sit here and we hear the word of God preached, or we sing songs on the screen, or we read the Bible, or we hear a testimony of someone else, and our first thought is, I don't measure up. I don't love God enough. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. How did he manifest that love? He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. How many people have dropped that word in a sentence this week? Probably not. That's why I highlighted it up here, put it in green. We need to talk about this word, propitiation for our sins. So we're going to do a little bit of Bible study here this morning, if that's okay with you guys. We're going to not only learn what John is getting at here, we're going to try to figure out what this word propitiation really means. A key to understanding words we don't understand in the Bible is to look for them in other places in the Bible to see how it's used in other places. So up on the screen, we're going to take a look at two different passages that use this same word, not just the English word, but the Greek original language word for propitiation. So first, Hebrews first, Hebrews 2. I'll read verses 14 through 18. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise, speaking of Christ, partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus came and lived in the flesh. He came and he experienced this broken world, like you and I experienced this broken world, yet was without sin. Yet what was without hate in his heart towards his enemies, to the point of death. He gave his life for the sins of the people. Let's take a look at another verse from Romans chapter 3. The righteousness of God has been revealed through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over their former sins. This has all kinds of implications, but it's talking about God giving his life, sending his son for you and me. Jesus being the Passover lamb who takes away the sins of the world. This word propitiation means to appease a holy God. And God sent his only son to die in our place. And then he can stand on solid ground with integrity and say, this is love. Not that you first loved me, but I loved you, my enemy. That's what John's getting at here. Back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. No one has ever seen God, but when we love one another, his love is perfected in us. There's a way that we and others can see more of God, and it's by loving one another the way he first loved us. This word perfected, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. This word is a verb that shows an action that has already been completed. Again, it's based on God's love with which he has already loved us, the loving action he has shown towards us in Jesus that's already done. We then live that out with one another, with the world around us, and people know that we are his disciples. They know that we love one another, and we even love our enemies to the point where we must have some kind of supernatural, otherworldly, other kingdom love. Again, love starts with God. We're going to continue on here in 1 John 4. Starting in verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his son to be the savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. I want to focus here on the middle of this. In verse 16, we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. One of the first things we learn as a child is the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. And as I said, when we came in here this morning, I think all of us could have raised our hand and said, love starts with God. God first loved me. But here, John is saying it is possible to know that love, to say, I have that love. God has first loved me. I know I'm born of him. I know I should love the way he loves and not believe that it's really true. You ever have that thought in the back of your mind, that splinter in the back of your mind, or maybe it's a full-on wedge in your understanding of God's love that says you're not good enough? You're not loving him enough. You weren't loving him enough yesterday. You won't love him enough today or tomorrow. And we have trouble basking in, marinating in, soaking in God's love. But John says, because of his loving action towards us, we've come to know and to believe that God loves us. It is a huge step in our sanctification when through his spirit, his word, and his people, we really start to believe he loves us. Just as we are. Just as we were. When it really sinks down into our heart. We learn it in our head, many of us at a very young age, but the few inches trip down to our heart where we really believe it, and then it comes out in loving action, is a huge, huge step that only his spirit, his word, and the ministry of his people can do. Here, we are reading about a love that is promised to us. We're reading about a love that is fully realized in Christ and then through us. We're learning here this morning about a love that lasts. That lasts. It isn't temporary, isn't based on our good behavior, isn't based on our emotions. It's based on God's loving action towards us. And then we abide in that love. We live in that love. It's not just something we visit when we're good. It's not something we just experience in the church. It's a place we abide, a place that we live. he wraps up this section by saying, we love because he first loved us. So what do we do? This is admittedly easier said than done. Because the fact of the matter is, perfect love casts out fear, but love spoken and not acted out causes harm. And it causes fear. And we have all experienced in one or many relationships, someone say they love us and then either neglect that love or cause harm as they speak that love. So what do we do? What do we do to heal? What do we do to have this love to give to other people? How do we know more and believe more in the love God has for us? We're going to talk about three things, three implications of this. The first is we receive his love. We heard it read at our Advent candle table this morning, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Getting gifts is great, but not every gift is created equal. Have you ever gotten a Christmas gift from someone and you're like, this person has never met me? If some... Hope you have receipts, Mom and Dad. Somebody's testifying this morning. If one of you were to walk up to me after the service and give me a nicely wrapped gift bag, and in that gift bag was cat food, I would say, it's nice to meet you. You've clearly never met me. I have never had a cat. I do not have a cat. I do not plan on getting a cat. Therefore, I appreciate you thinking of me, but please take your cat food back. Conversely, have you ever received a gift and you felt completely and utterly known? My grandmother, bless her heart, is 93 years old, and for my entire life, she has wanted to know exactly what we want for Christmas. Exactly. She will call my mother on the phone and say, okay, I'm looking at it right here. It's this, it's this, it's this. Is it exactly right? Which in a way is an act of love and care, but also leaves out a little bit of surprise, right? You just know what you're going to get. This is what I asked for. This is exactly what I got. That's even a step below what I'm talking about. Have you ever opened a gift from someone and it was something that wasn't on your wish list, that you'd never spoken out loud? That person just knew you. And they knew that you needed or wanted this even more than you did. To feel fully known and understood as you receive that gift. Your Heavenly Father offers you something even better today. The love you have always been looking for. The love that you are looking for in every relationship. The love you are looking to get and give to others is found in Christ. And he says, I'm here. The free gift of God is his very life given for you. Receive this gift this morning. What a great time to receive the gift that has been waiting for you for all these years. This can be a new Christmas. This can be a new Christmas season. This can be a new Advent. You can worship on Christmas Eve really believing in the love God has for you. Receive his love today. If you would like to do that, you can do it right now. There's no magic coming forward, but we will have some prayer ministry folks up here that would love to pray with you, answer questions you have. It's another option. If you scan that QR code on the seat back in front of you, you can let us know that you are beginning a relationship with Christ today. You can let us know if you have questions. You can let us know how to connect with other people that want to follow Jesus too, but receive his gift today. The price is nothing for you. He paid the cost. He paid the price. He was the propitiation in your place. Next, rest in his love. Rest in his love. We've come to know and believe in the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This is an abiding love where he begins the loving action. He comes in the flesh and dies in your place. Then we love him because he first loved us, and we abide, live in that love. His love channels through us. All the love we need to get, all the love we need to give is now in him, and we abide in, bask in, marinate in, live in that love. Here's the thing about human love. It comes and goes. The feeling comes and goes. The people come and go. We can really only rest at the end of the day in the love the Father has for us. And we will bask in that love, experience that love for all eternity. Why not start now? We need this in our life. We have not been loved perfectly. We do not love others perfectly. We need to rest in his perfect love. Since the beginning of the fall and through Easter here at Grace, we're going through this Sermon on the Mount series. Well, we're taking a look at what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. The kingdom that has already come in him, God in the flesh, and the kingdom that is coming when he makes everything right with the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the Old Testament law. I've come to fulfill it. He is the very embodiment of the kingdom of God. And John starts, 1 John, this chapter or this book that we're looking at today, by saying, we know God because we touched him with our hands. We saw him. John was one of Jesus' disciples. He was able to see God in the flesh. And so John can authoritatively say, we love because he first loved us. The kingdom of God and his kind of love has already come. That means our Heavenly Father wants to love you perfectly and wants to empower you to love others as if his kingdom had already come to earth. When the kingdom comes, you're going to experience perfect love from him and from others, and you're going to be able to give it too. That's part of the blessing of the kingdom of God. God's love fully manifested in us and through us. Let's start now. I want you to think about that person that is just so easy for you to love. So easy for you to love because they first loved you, because they have loved you so well that it is easy to love them. You light up when they come in the room. Now think of the other person that you can't even understand how you could like them. There is no way that I'm going to preach a good enough sermon, or you're going to give good enough notes, or we're going to whip each other up into a frenzy that when we leave here, you can love that person. It's impossible. It's an otherworldly, self-sacrificial, lay down your life kind of love. And we just heard this morning, Amanda read for us over here at our Advent table. A friend, one who loves, will lay down his life for another. Jesus says, lay down your life for your friend, but I'm going to go first. So rest in his love, and then give his love. Our world is desperate for real love. And we have it. They, just like we, will not find it anywhere else. And there is no other motivation to love your enemy than the gospel. There is no other motivation to love someone you don't even like. To love someone that you feel is out to harm you. There is no other motivation but the good news of the gospel. When the angels came, they said, there's good news of great joy, and it's for all people. That's the kind of love that we are called to receive and give to others, not just at Christmas time, but all the time, because he first loved us. We're going to break bread now in communion. Communion is a time to remember how Christ first loved us. In Paul's account in the New Testament of the Last Supper, he starts by saying that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread with his disciples. Jesus didn't just say he loved his disciples. He broke bread, offering his very body in their place, knowing that they would betray him. So as we take communion this morning, we are remembering the sacrificial love, the propitiation, the love of God made manifest in what Christ has done for us. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread with his disciples. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please take and eat." In the same way, he took the cup of the fruit of the vine and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my blood spilled for you, the blood of the new covenant, the blood spilled for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." If you are able, please stand with me. First, a round of applause for our string ensemble. Thanks, guys. Receive this benediction, this good word of sending this morning. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Go in grace, and we'll see you soon.